Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Kat Napsok, and this is another edition of Star Wars Ranked. With me today, Joseph Scrimshaw. Joseph, are you ready to rank the best Finn moments in Star Wars?
I am so ready. I spent a lot of delightful time reviewing some of my favorite Finn moments, and I can't wait to discuss them.
Can't wait to discuss them. But before we do, life, or is it the Force, sometimes works in mysterious ways. And we're going to be very honest here. I could show you the Google Doc if you don't believe it. We had planned to record and put this episode out as you're listening to it right now. It was in our schedule, something we're going to do on the day, which would be Wednesday. This is released obviously a few days later. But on the day that we were getting ready to convene virtually via Zencastr to record, the GQ cover article with John Boyega comes out, and a lot of just important things said in it, a lot of things discussed, a lot of levels, nuances, and things that aren't nuanced, that are just, here's what it is, and here's John Boyega's thoughts on it. And that comes out and creates quite a conversation, Joseph, around Finn, John Boyega, Star Wars, and it goes into a lot of different areas, a lot of, we can discuss, if we want, just, you know, some people that would use it to use those things and the pull quotes and to use it for their own agenda and discussing Star Wars and everything. It's just a weird situation to be recording, but also I think, Joseph, a perfect time to be recording this episode. So I'll bring you in here and What do you think about the Force?
I like the Force. It does work in mysterious ways. Yeah, I will say very quickly, my own personal journey of like yesterday, I had a lot of different things to do and I was kind of trying to juggle it all. And I was going to write up my notes for this episode we're recording. And I was like, I have 1,000 favorite Finn moments. No problem. I'll just bang them down. And I got to look at them and was like, I really want to give some thoughts to maybe which moments aren't the immediate ones that jump to my mind. And I ended up scanning through all three of the films and stopping and watching every moment of Finn. And I'm so glad that I did, because for me, it made me really want to not just debate this character, but celebrate this character, because there are so many great things about the character. And it was fascinating to encounter this article and the discussion on it, having just for myself, for the sake of this podcast, gone through my own emotions, my own opinions, my own thoughts on the character of Finn in the actual movies. So that's where I'm coming from to the podcast and to this article. But for myself, the article, my just big overall reaction is that I think it is so very important that we allow ourselves to have nuance and multiple opinions about one thing, multiple thoughts about one thing. There's a lot in our society that's, you know, winner or loser, or, you know, you push this button or that button, you turn left or you turn right, or it's a really big important thing and there can't be a gray area and you have to make a choice. Those moments are important. But then there's also just so many moments in life where you can think lots of different things and weigh them and walk with them and sometimes just accept that these are multiple truths or multiple opinions. So that's my main big picture reaction. I guess I have two main big picture reactions. My other main big picture reaction is from the just let's talk about Star Wars side of it. I think it is so important to recognize that, in my opinion, my interpretation, this article is about John Boyega's experience as an actor. It's his lived experience. It's his experience as a black man who is an actor. And all the discussion of Star Wars is vital and important, but it's all within the context of that's what he's talking about his large experiences as a black man, and in particular, a black man who has had this heightened visibility because of his career. And Star Wars is just a part of that. This is not just a pull quote that is about Star Wars. I have some other thoughts, but I don't want to just monologue. So I want to hear your big picture thoughts.
Yeah. Big picture thoughts is where I always go to in a lot of situations. It's just like, number one, I read the article, you know.
Yeah.
Let's do that. And see where it's going. To realize that there could be a lot of layers to this, that even if John Boyega was, the whole article was, let me tell you why I hated Last Jedi, which, by the way, it wasn't, that shouldn't know that my love of that movie or this character can still exist while he has that, just like you and I have friends that don't love Rise of Skywalker as much as you and I do. And I like that. So trying to live in that world, but again, just realizing that it's very much about Star Wars and the process of big tentpole filmmaking and studios and marketing. It is that, but it's also so beyond those walls that I don't ever just want to stay in the walls and not listen to his words about the bigger picture, about life and his experiences. And this is a guy who gets the role of the lifetime. The first trailer comes out and then immediately 2014 YouTube fires up the and Twitter and Facebook fires up the a black man can't be a stormtrooper conversation. Maybe people forget that because 5-6 years ago seems long, but also blink of an eye. That's your first experience with this. So you're going to have some thoughts about being in that storm.
Yeah.
And you're going to have some experiences and some pains and angers. And I think he did some follow-up tweets that people might want to check out if they didn't, that just kind of, they don't go in and they don't parse everything out. Well, what I meant here was this, what I meant here. And this, said, no, JJ are great. We exchange a Christmas card. None of that. It just goes out and reminds you to, one, read the horror article or shut your mouth, basically what he says, make your top lip become one with your bottom lip. I'm going to try to use that in life somewhere. just talking about the whole experience, going beyond Star Wars. And he's been in the eye, his Hyde Park speech, and how powerful and important that was. And the conversation created, but I think it's just, that's where my big picture is, just like, wow, let me just acknowledge and listen to his experience and go from there. And then, you know, not even worry about, you and I are going to do this episode and we're going to present the things we love about this character. But it also, I think people forget that when they hear you and I specifically and Jennifer on the show, but you know, obviously for the last few months, it's been mostly you and I, while Jennifer is raising two wonderful Padawans and we'll come back to the show on a more regular basis. We obviously all hope. But you know, I think it's easy to overlook that you and I do say, hey, there's some things about Last Jedi we don't like. And some of that stuff is maybe the handling of the characters, particularly the characters of color or characters that are, you know, on quote the sidelines and everything. Yeah, there's a lot of that there, and that it does, you see it. And so he's speaking a lot of truth, but that doesn't mean it was done intentionally by Ron Johnson or anything like that. And so I don't even need to go down those paths. I'm here to celebrate this wonderful character that was performed with great conviction and integrity by a talented young actor who I hope continues to grow in his career and continues to get the roles he wants. And then I hope that he could use this film to do that. But he's also, you know, but also just acknowledging just, yeah, what's there and what has been experienced and what he's experienced is important and valuable. I don't know. I figure I'm rambling now. I'll stop and let you go, sir.
No, I think you said a lot of really important things there, and I strongly agree with. I think that he did say some important and vital and true things about Disney and about his experience with Star Wars, but that is a whole article. It is not Star Wars pull quotes. And I think for me, one of the most important things that he says about Star Wars is exactly what you're highlighting of. He got the role of a lifetime and was thrilled and then just viciously attacked by racists. There's no other way to put it. If you don't think that, you know, a stormtrooper could be black and you were tweeting that in 2014, at this, you know, talented, wonderful human being who just had this blissful, successful moment and undermining it. You know, I think that's, it's so important that those are, he's saying a lot of really important things. He's not just saying thumbs up, thumbs down on, you know, this Star Wars movie or that Star Wars movie. And that's the part of it I really like. We can have this conversation on our Star Wars podcast, but like the article is so much bigger than that.
It's way bigger. And that's why I, you know, having a hot take about this human's very real experiences, which include angers and pains and frustrations, and using that hot take to spin it into your equally as hot take over Kathleen Kennedy or a plan to make the movies or what you felt about any of the movies. That's a path you choose for yourself, and I will not go down that path. And it doesn't mean there aren't some good conversations or some good points when you talk about the character or the making of the movie or all that kind of stuff. I think it's important to separate the two as best we can. But also realize it is all part. I don't want to separate completely, but just like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, having said kind of some of the big picture stuff that I think is most important and then making the choice to go, hey, we're on a Star Wars podcast. Let's talk about Star Wars. I think for me is an example of the way I approach it is things don't have to be absolutes. Overall, I think The Last Jedi is a brilliant, amazing film. I think Rian Johnson is one of the most talented writer directors ever to work in cinema. I think that Finn has a complete arc, that it makes sense, and it is it's a great character arc. I also don't particularly like Finn's comedy in The Last Jedi and feel like Finn's comedy in The Force Awakens came from a natural character place. And Finn's comedy in The Last Jedi feels a little bit more slapsticky to me. And then I can also understand, oh, well, he has a great character arc, but how many great moments does he have in The Last Jedi? And how much more, he has such great chemistry with both Daisy Ridley and Oscar Isaac, and the characters all work together. Like, would it have been richer for the characters to be together? Maybe. Those are all things that I think, and they can just coexist because they can, because nobody's life depends on me being 100% thumbs up or thumbs down on The Last Jedi. And then I could go on to Rise of Skywalker and have the same sort of, here's what I loved, here's what I question, here's what I just plain dislike. And I think that for me, it's really important in Star Wars conversation in life to be able to have multiple different overlapping opinions when you can. It's a luxury, right? Because there are times where we have to be like, no, this is, I must choose a side. It's A or B right now. And in times like just how you feel about a movie where you can have multiple overlapping opinions, allow yourself that nuance. And then the additional huge nuance of, obviously, John Boyega has his lived experience, and that's his lived experience as somebody who is on set, as somebody who's, you know, went through the marketing, then went through working with different writers, different directors, all that stuff. His experience is his experience. And I'm going to listen to that, and I'm going to absolutely accept it because it's his experience. And then it doesn't have to change how I feel about the movies, or it can.
I had a thought, and then you know, it's like, I don't even know if I need to say it, but there's these things, particularly with Force Center's reputation as a, hey, you want to come to have a positive, nuanced conversation about Star Wars, go to the Force Center team. And me and Joseph and Jennifer not only appreciate that, we actively cultivate that. We cultivate that kind of discussion in our Discord server. Generally speaking, it just is a great spot to discuss things, maybe occasionally get frustrated, but always work it out and sit down at the cantina and enjoy Star Wars with friends. But, so sometimes because of that, I might see a comment, a tweet, a good old grandpa, Luke, Mark Hamill's will say a tweet that sometimes I'm like, oh man, I know what this is going to cause. And I just want to say, I think it's important to say that is not Mark Hamill, John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, any actor, director, anyone involved in Star Wars' fault. If they tweet something out that's seems like a slight, and then someone does a 45-minute video on it, that's not John Boyega's fault. You know, that's a choice made by someone else. They're expressing, they've been in it. You know, we've all been at jobs. You listening, me and Joseph here talking. We've all been at jobs where from the outside looks wonderful, and it probably is wonderful. And I know there's that big thread that even Boyega retweeted of that guy talking about this. Like, hey, I can't completely understand where John's coming from as a white man, but let me tell you, this experience is my job. We've all been there. And so that doesn't mean I still get to enjoy Star Wars, or Finn, specifically Finn, that we're going to talk about today, even if there was a lot about it that John's still working through or will work through. And I hope that John Boyega, who, when he first showed, remember that first trailer reaction he did on the couch screaming, and he had so much joy for this. I hope that years from now, months from now, decades from now, I don't know, that he can look back and he can 100% feel the joy that we all feel for his character, and can feel the legacy and influence of that character. Cause right now, maybe he can't, you know, he hasn't said that, by the way, that's me but I hope 5 years from now, he can go, man, that I'm so happy I got to experience that. And so happy that people got to enjoy it. And I hope that too.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think he does make it clear in the article that, yeah, there were some absolutely amazing things about it, but then, and people are always happy to hear about those, but I got to talk about the parts that weren't great either, because how is anything ever going to change if I don't bring up the parts that weren't great? So I think he is already having that kind of nuanced perspective. And I think the final thing for me to say on it is, yeah, I agree with you. I think these debates over, you know, is this movie good or is it bad? Should they have a plan? Who screwed it up? Who didn't? How? And this is exactly why it's wrong. And all that stuff is, you know, it's understandable up to a point, but some of it fades, and good, bad, flaws, whatever, there are going to be people coming up to John Boyega for years and telling them that they loved Finn. Because if you agree with the choices, bad choices or not, he's I think an amazing actor, an amazing character, and all of what is on screen, I think, deserves to be celebrated.
Absolutely. And you said it. So, Joseph, we want to be able to have a conversation about this character that isn't about the debate, but it's about the celebration for what is there on screen And that's our intention here today. Always bigger conversations to have, but we don't just sit here and simply bring out some cake and a birthday hat and celebrate Star Wars. When we say that, we mean interacting with it, finding the bigger meanings, and being moved by what is there for us. And I think there is so much to be moved by from the Finn character.
Exactly.
We, as we do here in Star Wars Rank, each have about five and some honorable mentions of things we're going to do to support the topic. So we'll work our way 5-1. Joseph, let's do it. The best Finn moments in Star Wars. What is your number five?
My number five was hard to pick. They're all hard to pick, but there's so many different elements of his character that I wanted to be sure to have on the list and celebrate. But I had to start with kind of one of the first moments of Finn and one of the, I think, most important parts of his character, and that is empathy. My number five is Finn not firing on the villagers. That whole sequence is, of course, great. We've talked about recently when we're talking about action figures. I think the bloody hand marks on the white helmet is one of the iconic images of Star Wars that is going to be around for a long time and have a lot of power. But that moment where he doesn't fire, where Phasma gives the order and you see everybody else lighting up, and it's truly just horrible. These defenseless villagers have been gathered. But then we get that shot kind of straight on, where he drops the blaster when the other troopers are walking away and his shoulders slump and there's just this tiny little head shake. And it's an incredibly great, powerful Star Wars moment because, hey, what's new and different in The Force Awakens? What's new and different about this character of, like, what if it's a stormtrooper who does not want to be doing this, can't go through with doing this? So, yeah. Not only is it the moral clarity and the introduction to the character of a trooper who couldn't fire and kill innocent people, but just the physicality of the way the shoulders slump in that slight head shake, that's a kind of honesty and emotion we've never seen emoted through stormtrooper armor in that exact moment, the power of that acting through armor that I wanted to celebrate with my number five.
No, it's great. It starts you off. It's right then and there. That bloody hand is so, it just visceral. It's right there. It's on his face. It's in our face. But, you know, I remember Lawrence Kasdan talking about, hey, we never really have had this in Star Wars. We never really, it's not, it goes beyond. And I want to point out, because going into the movie with some of the marketing and knowing that, all right, he's a stormtrooper that goes good, right? That was, we knew that was coming. To me, I went down the path of, oh, cool, like a defector. And it's like that, it, yes, and that's great. But it's so much more than that. It is an emotional journey for this character. And it begins right here. And you feel it. And the fact that his stormtrooper buddies, you know, his classmate, I think if you learn in the Before the Awakening little novel that came up before, like, you know, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And I love that. I love what you're talking. And shoulder slump is great.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's great commentary in that, you know, Abrams and Kasdan discussed the idea of the First Order a lot as, you know, in the real world, what if the Nazis went and hid, and what if they reemerged? And, you know, there's a discussion of how did the horrors of World War II happen? And, well, the soldiers were just following orders, and it's powerful in this Nazi analogy to see somebody not following the orders.
Indeed, it starts his journey and starts our journey. That's a great number five. For me, my number five, we are going to The Last Jedi. And this is a moment, I think I've even discussed it in another Star Wars Ranked, of a little kind of like a little sideline. I love those little side small moments in Star Wars. But I'm going to him and Rose on the Father Years, and him as they're getting to the shuttle, which has the parking violations on, and it's blown up, and he has that great reaction of, oh, come on. It to me, talk about comedy coming from character. I think that's it. It's an example of this whole movie is, in many ways, The Last Jedi is all those things that you see in other big movies, not just Star Wars. The hero gets to the ship. The hero is in disguise and gets away with it. They take out the Star Destroyer and yay, it's all good. Some people died, whatever, it's good. The hero comes back with the big laser sword to save the day. That movie clearly it analyzes our just expectations of that happening in stories and says, you know, success is beyond that. The heroes are beyond that. And so I just love that. It's almost as if Finn is us at that moment, just being like, oh, come on. You're going to escape home free. Yes, I know I'm watching a movie and there's going to be obstacles in front of my characters. But I think for me, it's more than just a funny line. It is part of the core of The Last Jedi of just like, we almost had it. You know, it's the not lighter version. It's pretty heavy, but it's like the funnier version of like when Poe also says back to them when he's like, oh, they're not going to make it. And he has that realization. That's actually one of my favorite Poe moments. But this is my Finn moment. It's him. It's Boyega's energy and the way he really delivers it. You're right. I think maybe some better comedy overall in Force Awakens for him than this one. But this to me is just boom from the character, from the frustration, from the moment. And I love it.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I think I have some criticisms of some comedy moments, and there are some comedy moments that are great. It's one of the things that I love about Finn is he has all of these great traits that we're going to talk about, but the character of Finn and the performance by John Boyega is just damn funny. And this is one of those great lines that is so relatable. It's one of my favorite kinds of comedy. Sometimes when people ask me of an example of a favorite joke, I don't mean to surprise them. It's just honestly what comes up of like that early scene in Spider-Man 2 where Peter Parker is trying to deliver pizza, but the mops keep falling out of the closet he just tried to change in. People are like, really? That's you're a comedian and that's your great moment of comedy. But I just love comedy that asks us to empathize with just like, I'm already having a hard day and the 87th thing went wrong and it's a dumb small thing. You know, this is a big thing, getting your ship blown up. But that come on has that energy of just like, yeah. I'm already doing this daring, adventure. Oh, we found the red plum bloom guy, but then we got thrown into prison. Then we had to do this weird escape and don't even know what's going to happen next and just want to get to damn it. You know, it's. Yeah. The come on is like what I feel like the times that I've accidentally locked myself out of my apartment when it's already a stressful day, right? You know, so yeah. it's just so funny and relatable.
Yeah, no, they've got this mission and it's kind of wild and crazy, but come on, it's got to work. Let's give it a go. And come on kind of encapsulates the whole feeling for me there. So that's why it's my number five, but we're working our way up to bigger moments and we got your number four right now.
My number four is a big moment. It followed us in because if you were paying any attention to the marketing, you knew that Finn was going to use that lightsaber at some point. But it is I like it in story, not just the marketing tale of it. But it is Finn igniting the lightsaber to fight Kylo and defend Rey. What I really like about this is, there's been great stuff in the rest of The Force Awakens of building the relationship between Rey and Finn. But this moment, you know, we talk about being a hero of Finn has been in the First Order. He knows who Kylo is. He has every reason to be terrified of Kylo. Kylo, appears to have this power that at the time, Finn does not believe that he has. But just that, like, it's just such a moment of the odds are against you, but you stand up to fight anyway. And it is in that sort of true Jedi spirit of defense of, Kylo just did that massive force push to Rey and Finn, went to Starkiller Base to find his friend that he had made this deep connection with. And he's going to ignite that blade in the true spirit of the Jedi of defense. And just the bravery it takes for him to stand up to Kylo is just really inspiring.
Yeah. Yes. This without a doubt, I figured this moment would be on one of our lists, right? It's so big and it's interesting. It is part of the conversation going on the week, this week. So here's what I'll say. I absolutely love Finn picking up a blade. I love too that he gets it on Takadana. I need a weapon. You have one. Like that was the cheer inducing moment in one of the early screenings I was there at and many others too. So I want to acknowledge that I know many wanted more from this moment, but here's my thoughts on it here. And these are my thoughts, but that destiny may not have called him to own this saber, but it called him to wield it right here now in this moment on Starkiller Base on Ilum, a very sacred planet in Star Wars lore too, by the way. And I think we as fans and maybe even characters and stories can be obsessed with titles, ranks, and what accessory comes with what figure, but the Force doesn't need any of that. The Force races past kind of those hollow descriptors and looks to the heart of those that will listen to it. And Finn didn't hesitate. He didn't wait for permission or training. Finn picked up that lightsaber to defend someone in need. He picked it up to stand between the dark side and those that would harm. Finn didn't just, listen to the call of the light side. He picked up the light side in conjunction, picked up the saber in conjunction with the light side. And he didn't just heed the call. He was already there waiting for the call. And to me, in many ways, Finn's actions are just not, just in line with the Jedi. They are the way of the Jedi, like you said, Joseph. And he did it. And he picked up the lightsaber at his own risk because he had a feeling. And now there's giant emotional canon connected to that for me. And that's why I like that moment.
Yeah, no, I think a bunch of stuff you said there is so great. And I do want to be understanding to people who saw Finn with the lightsaber in the advertising and in the marketing and then felt let down that this was not Finn's traditional Jedi journey with the lightsaber. I understand marketing making people feel that way. I understand that might even be, a part of what John Boyega is talking about is you marketed Finn like he was a bigger character. So I really want to acknowledge that is, I think, a super important and valid criticism and discussion. And my celebration of this moment is how it exists for better or worse on the screen, that mm-hmm. even though there's going to be this big cheer moment coming where the lightsaber flies to Rey, I think this moment is really important because to me, this is like Han turning around in A New Hope in helping Luke, because, hey, Luke is, fated to blow up the Death Star, but he couldn't do it if Han wasn't there in being heroic. And this is that moment for Finn, too, where he is, standing up and making a choice to fight, as you said, with no hesitation. And, you can be the chosen one all you want, but as Star Wars keeps telling us, you're not going to get anywhere if there aren't other brave people around you who choose to fight.
Mm. Yeah. Well said, and a great entry at number four for you. And my number four, going back to The Last Jedi, and it's simply when Finn says to DJ, "You're wrong." Mm. Now, on previous many episodes of Force Center, I just, for whatever reason, just love the delivery. I love the subtext. I love the weight of Benicio del Toro as DJ saying, "Maybe." I think it's just one of my favorite little moments. And I almost like I can't fully explain it. But I don't want to lose what that is in response to. It's Finn just saying with so much conviction in his heart, "You're wrong," because he knows what DJ's been telling him and he knows what DJ did. And this sequence, this comes in the middle of a spectacular, sometimes much debated, but sometimes more often than not celebrated collection of sequences, Joseph, the Holdo maneuver. And that tension, the throne room, everything that's going on in there. And then we do have the stuff with Phasma, execution, all that kind of stuff. So in this big giant sequence, there's this little moment that is just Finn simply and very forcefully saying, "You're wrong," to the idea that it's just business and there's no mincing of words. And to me, and you and I have discussed this kind of stuff, this is one of the biggest just continual themes in Star Wars. And there's nothing hidden about it. There's no subtext. It's just simply telling us in very plain and powerful words right here, "You're wrong if that's what you think." And that to me is part of the heart of not just Last Jedi, but Star Wars. And it comes from Finn. And I think it's important to highlight that and not have it be lost in a bigger sequence or even for someone like me to remember the line that came after more. I want to highlight what he said. "You're wrong."
Yeah, yeah. And as I was watching through, there are a lot of moments where there is Finn says something spectacular and important, and then there's another line after it. And sometimes that's the line or the beat that we end up focusing on. And I think I'm so glad that you picked this because I think it's so important because I think that "You're wrong," that is the moment where things change for Finn. That is his arc. And like I said, I understand if people dislike his arc, but I will kind of go to the mat. I'll write an essay that he does have an arc. and you can like it or dislike it. But for me, he's had this journey where he made that connection with Rey. He's willing to do anything to protect his friend. She is willing to do anything for him. And he's been on this mission because he wants to keep Rey safe. He just wants to get away from the First Order. And then he's seen through Rose's eyes the idea of what a hero is. But then just more importantly, he's just seen, well, who is making what choices? What are they doing that the First Order would decimate Rose planet, that all these people on Canto Bight would profit off of war? But then just in this specific moment, I think for Finn to see Rose on her knees going to be executed. And that the particular thing that happened is that DJ just casually sold out the resistance people to just die. And he doesn't care because it's just business to him. And I think hearing that other people's lives are just business. And that's what clicks it for Finn to go, oh, the resistance and the First Order aren't just fighting a war. It's not Team A and it's not Team B. They have different ideologies. They have different perspectives. And there's one ideology that's right, and there's one that's wrong. And I am on the side of the ideology that is right to me. And that's, you know, that's where he becomes a true resistance fighter. He becomes the resistance hero. He was a hero in Force Awakens, but now he becomes the resistance hero that, you know, Rose talked to him about in this moment.
Mm-hmm. He is in the resistance. That's, the moment we just talked about, he picks up that blade for Rey. And I think sometimes that's forgotten. He goes there for Rey, like you said. So this is that moment. It's big and it's important. And it's a billboard for Star Wars. You're wrong.
Yep. a nice moment of absolutes. Yep.
But that's always been the fine line, the complicated layers and the fun, you know, only the Sith deal absolutes, but that's an absolute. Yeah. You can play all those mind games, but, this is a story of evil and good, right?
Yep.
Light side, dark side, no, gray necessary rage in the middle of it there. Get your job's done. So that's my number four. We're up to your number three.
My number three is from a similar general area of the film. It is also from The Last Jedi, and it is Rebel Scum. I know that there are people who don't like that line. I respect that opinion as well. I've always liked this line. I think there's a part of it for me that Star Wars can have and should have deep themes and deep ideas, but it is also an adventure serial, and I like these kind of fist-pumping moments. And this moment feels to me like it is an adventure serial, fist-pumping moment. The good guy won in the fight against the bad guy, but it also does feel really resonant and powerful to me within this sort of great adventure serial action movie one-liner. That it's not that this is a moment where he is declaring himself to be with Resistance, to be with the Rebels. I think the moment where he makes that decision for himself comes a little earlier in that you're wrong moment. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I think it's pivotal that he kind of goes after Phasma when Rose is like, great, we can go. And that's going to tie into him, you know, making the run at the Death Star Tech ram cannon that he's, now that he's in, he's all in. And there's the yet to come, the, you know, let's save what we love, not fight what we hate. But he sees Phasma, and I think he sees she is the symbol of all of these things that I have now decided are absolutely wrong and I need to be on the other side of. And she's the one who personally indoctrinated me. She's the one who made me feel less than. And it feels like they're calling back to methods of indoctrination when she says you are always scum, that this is something that she has said of like, you are less than, and you know, you should be controlled and indoctrinated and shaped by the First Order because you don't matter. And I feel like when he says rebel scum, not only is it a great like fist pumping popcorn moment, it is him saying, no, I get to decide who I am, and I reject your programming. You're wrong about me. I get to choose who I am, and I'm a rebel.
Yeah, I love to, because it's easy to go, well, of course, hey, they're abducted. They're given numbers, no, not names. And it's even some of the stuff that ties into the clones. And you and I have been breaking down the Clone Wars episodes a little more deeply. But But I love that you're taking it to a real deeper level for me of her, like, just who she was in her training, and who the First Order was in their training was more than just, yeah, you don't have a name. It's like, oh, you don't even, your number doesn't mean anything to us. You need to get out there as we tell you to, and as we make you. And I think there's some subtext there. What I love about this moment too is we know a little bit more. Delilah S. Dawson's book, Phasma, really shed some light on what that helmet means, right? And what that moment to have her eye exposed, and even in her Parnassus, her planet, you know, Phasma wore a mask, more of a traditional mask of her people and culture there. So she, you know, her being unmasked in that moment with that eye showing means something. But look at the fear and the terror when Phasma is exposed, right? In that moment, she's like, you see it. And here he is. He took, yes, technically, you know, literally he took his helmet off in Force Awakens, right? But this to me is him really being exposed in this moment. You want to know who I am? This is who I am. And I say it with pride and conviction, and I'm going to take action. It's a moment that comes from the performer. It comes from Boyega himself for me. It's just in this moment, I'm exposed and I am very happy with what is underneath here. You're exposed and you're fearful, afraid, and you're angry, and you're insulting, and you are the one who might be nothing here in this moment. If we want to get dirty about it, there you get a little mean with your Phasma. So yeah. I do love that moment. It goes beyond. It is what you say it is too, a good fun whip snap line. And it's also has this deep meaning that you helped, you know, connect with the training in the past and the subtext.
Yeah. Yeah. And not to downplay the value of a line like that. And I think that's part of its power. You know, you said really well, like, Boyega's performance of it is amazing. And I think maybe there is a part of that of like, you know, this is a great action adventure moment, and it has meaning, and it's a declaration. I am who I am. I'm rebel scum. And I love it. Well said, Ken. Well said.
Well said. Well said. The Force Center. Well said. T-shirt there. Yes. So that is your number three. My number three, going to the Force Awakens and in Maz's castle. You know, I love a lot about Maz's castle, even just the background characters. You and I love Sidon, Thano, and Qui-Gold and all the stuff there. I really love when he kind of comes clean with Rey and says, I'm not who you think I am. I'm not resistance. I'm not a hero. And the reason I love this is his journey from that moment you talked about on the Two and All village of shoulders slumped, head down, not wanting to kill villagers. He doesn't immediately rip off the helmet and say, I'm defecting. This is why I like it. I think it's deeper. I do like that he's going to break Poe out, and it's like, oh, but you need a pilot. Yeah, I just need a pilot. I need to get out of here. And so it does come from fear. He's motivated more by fear. And that probably, that's Finn as a character probably has a lot of shame, right? Maybe he wishes he could be more just like, I'd love to join the fight. I love, but I don't know who I am yet, or I'm discovering and I have fear and I have shame about that fear, and I'm not being honest with it. And we got the great humor with Han, you know, come on, big deal. And the women always find out. There's some great Han stuff there. But in this moment, I want to make sure you give Finn credit for just kind of like coming clean. And then for me, that is an emotional first step forward. That sometimes admitting you're having trouble finding the strength is the very building block on which your eventual strength will be built on. It's kind of that acknowledging, like, you know, let me come clean with you here. And he still has some steps to go. He's a long way. The journey, I think he does have an arc, like you say. But I think this is a low key, just one of my favorite moments. And it's in a movie that came out 5 years ago now, in a big giant sequence. And shortly after, she's got the vision, and Hosni and Prime gets blown up. There's a lot of big things that happen. I want to highlight this. I think this is a talk about self-care or self-discovery and self-growth. I think this is one of those moments.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you picked this one. The whole speech is great. I watched it a couple times yesterday. I typed out the whole speech.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to see for myself, like, how long is it? It's for Star Wars. It's a long speech for Star Wars. And you don't feel any of that length because Boyega just knocks it out of the park. It sits perfectly with the character that we've seen in the movie. I think fear is right. I think that comedy comes from him trying to figure out this new world and trying to fake his way through it, to fake his way to safety. I think he is a naturally enthusiastic character who is like kind of wants to believe it can be done. And, you know, when he's supportive and excited, he lets people know. There's all this great sort of like energy and forward movement about this character. And this is that moment of cracking through that fear of, yeah, but before Teray, I had to say, like, yeah, no, I'm with the resistance. I'm with the resistance. Yeah. Like all those great comedy moments. And here he strips away, you know, what was motivating that comedy, and is just entirely honest. And this absolutely, this speech from Finn absolutely sells the bond between Finn and Rey to me, of him saying, I was raised to do one thing. I decided I wasn't going to do it in that moment. And then I ran away. I ran straight into you. And you looked at me like no one ever had. I was ashamed of what I'd become, but I'm done with the First Order. I'm never going back. Just that idea of these two kind of orphans in a certain way, seeing each other for the first time and going through these experiences, and Finn knowing what it's like to be seen for being himself and being seen as somebody who could be more than a machine programmed to kill, is all these big ideas, and it's just portrayed with such honesty and conviction and clarity for his arc and his motivation. Right now, I just want to get away from the First Order and be a person. And I care about you, Rey. And I think it's really significant that this moment, just a couple beats later, Finn leaves. And that's when Rey hears the lightsaber calling, by hearing herself calling out to her parents when they left her. You know, like, mm-hmm. It sets up a lot, this moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Great. And it's one of those, there's a lot going on. There's a lot in the sequence, and you might remember other things, which are equally as great, but you might remember them a little bit more than some of these quieter moments. And that's why we're talking about them here on Best Fit Moments in Star Wars. That's my number three, which means we're up to your number two.
My number two is from The Rise of Skywalker. A lot of moments to choose from, but I wanted to highlight the specific line, "They've taken enough of us." I love the arc in Rise of Skywalker that is about everyone is stronger together. Everyone is an individual, and they need to make their choices of who they are, but ultimately they're stronger together. This line kind of comes from this idea of Poe's epiphany, that what he needs is to not be alone. That's what Finn has been advocating for the entire movie, and some of my other favorite lines, which I'll share in my runner-ups because I love those. In that they're working together. General, great comedy moment. They're given that big speech together, seamlessly picking up one another's thoughts, but also being unique in them, and building from Finn's angle to this one. You know, Poe has a very significant, you know, what our mothers and fathers fight for, we will not let die. But they've taken enough of us. You know, you can read that as we've had horrific losses in the resistance. They're controlling the galaxy. But knowing that Finn has reconnected with Janna, and knowing that he has reconnected with the trauma and the horror of all of those kids being taken by the First Order, that line has such weight and power to say they've taken enough of us, to mean not just through violence, but that's what the First Order is. That's one of the reasons they are fundamentally evil, not just Team A, Team B. They both kill each other. Mm-hmm. They have taken all of these kids from across the galaxy. Finn's reconnected with Janna. I think, you know, it's so important to me that idea is not just his origin story. It's highlighted. This is a little bit of why he fights. I think this is, for me, a thematic payoff to Rose sharing, you know, we're not fighting what we hate, we're saving what we love. That his motivation going into this big battle is, I need to save what I love in the big picture, being all those kids who don't deserve to be put through what I was put through, what Janna was put through. I'm going to save what I love. I'm going to save those kids. They've taken enough of us.
Yeah, as you're talking, it's like my heart goes and connects to two moments. It connects to Lando and Janna and her kind of like not knowing, like, you know, I think we've talked a lot about that moment. You and I kind of really both love that moment. And yeah, it was a tip of the iceberg storytelling thing that maybe was even going to be in the movie, but it's not. It's there. It exists. So I love that moment, and it ties to Finn here. And then I love, you know, in watching The Force Awakens this weekend again, it's been there since I saw it in 2015. But as they're debating on who helped Poe and who escaped, and it's FN2187 from the village, and they bring up his file, and there's a picture of him as a kid.
Yeah.
5-6 year old, and it can drive home. This is Star Wars. It's fun. It's a serial adventure. It's whip snap. It's always going to be on that level, and you can always enjoy it there. You and I have talked about the invasion of Naboo. Seems pretty tame until you realize there's some pain and torture going on, and Queen's Peril brings some of that up into your face. Take that down, and what you're talking about is probably the visions Finn's having of his past as he's talking to Jen in this moment, as he's talking to everybody in this moment. So, yeah, that my heart goes to those two separate moments because of this scene.
It's a moment that it could fly by, but I think it's a really, really important moment for Finn and a really moving moment for me.
Great choice. Number two, right? Yeah. Okay. So my number two going to The Force Awakens, kind of, I don't know, cheating a little bit here with a little collection of lines, I should say, from different sequences. First one around the briefing room, when he just simply says, when they're talking about going to destroy Starkiller Base, maybe getting to the surface, and he's like, I can do it, which, of course, Han says, I like this guy. Fun moment. Then you go to when they're actually down there, and then, Rey's escape. She's calling around. They meet up again, and she has that. Rey has a great moment of just like, Chewie said, you came back for you. This is your idea. So all that, take all that, Joseph, and put it in. You and I have had the discussions of, again, he's picking up the blade on Starkiller Base to defend Rey. A lot of his focus is on that in that movie. He's not fully committed to the resistance yet, or doesn't know what that fully means. He's still growing. And what I love about I Can Do It is, I don't think it's a lie. I think he believes, I can do it. But he's saying almost whatever he needs to say to go save his friend. And it's his idea. And of course, Chewie, the friend of the friends, right? He's the co-pilot to all of us. For Chewie to acknowledge it, it's a great Chewie moment. We'll say that for Chewie. But in the sequence, I just want to say, for all the discussions that you and I can have on themes and everything, I want to stop and give Finn the credit for understanding the value of a good friend, pals, and doing the right thing and doing all you can, even when maybe it's a bad idea to help a friend. I just want to give him credit. It's an inspiring kind of sequence of events for me. He's not just going, let me come up with a plan. He's like, I'll do it. I'll do what it takes to help my friend. And I want him to have all the credit for that.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you highlighted that whole sequence. And I love the idea of the Chewie is kind of this emotional therapist throughout the sequel trilogy, where he just kind of roars an important bit of emotional canon to our characters. But I do think it's significant in that speech that you were talking about earlier. He says clearly, like all of them, I was taken from a family I'll never know and raised to do one thing. And he talks about not making the choice not to kill, but to see that from his eyes of like, I ran away from it right into you, and I made this connection to you, and I can tell you got some stuff going on. You're worried about not having a family and getting back to where you belong. And then he sees Kylo, the symbol of the First Order, take Rey. So, right. I mean, I think it is absolutely defending his friend and this connection and being brave and kind, but it's also just, I think, a continuation of like, I'm not going to let that happen to my new friend. I'm not going to let the First Order take her too. I'm going to go get her. And like, yeah, what bravery.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, that's a real life thing, man. I remember I had surgery in 2006, and when the first I woke up, and it was a friend of mine there, like throwing life off to be there to help me. And it's not the exact situation, but just that feeling of like, I'm not alone. And Rey has that, and it comes from Finn. And
that's like, right.
All right, so that is my number two. We've done your number two, which means we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll both have some honorable mentions, and then we'll each share our favorite moment, the best Finn moment in Star Wars for each of us. It is Star Wars Ranked here on Force Center. We'll be right back.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hey, Four Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, Four Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JenniLanda.com, that's JENILANDA.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Hey, Four Center fans, don't forget Four Center is on YouTube. Head over there to catch up with our new show, Star Wars Show and Tell. Joseph, Jennifer, Ken, and special guests sit down and share favorite items from their own Star Wars memorabilia collections. Plus, there's the In Memoriam video series, encore presentations of Databank Brawl, and special programming all there for you, and more shows on the way. It's Four Center on YouTube. Check it out. And we are back here on Star Wars Rank, the 96th episode of Star Wars Rank. Joseph, what are we going to do for 100? I don't know. No.
Let's think about it. Rank the episodes of Star Wars Rank.
Oh, that's not bad. It's voted on by the listeners of Star Wars Rank. Maybe. If you guys just want to organically make that happen, go for it. That would be kind of interesting, but also a little weird. Just to rank.
Absolutely.
All right. Today on Star Wars Ranked, we are ranking the best Finn moments in Star Wars. We each have a lot to choose from. Joseph, we're going to go through some runner-ups. What do you got?
Yeah. So for my runner-ups, I think for my main list, I ended up going with some kind of the big, meaningful and heroic moments of Finn. But I think all of my runner-ups really concentrate on just how dynamic the character is. I was trying to look for the right word for him, and I actually Googled words, and a word that I came up with is paladin. It's, you know, associated with knight sometimes, but it means to firmly believe in a cause and to be a booster and a supporter. And I think a lot of what Finn is, he believes in different things throughout the arc of the films. He believes in not the First Order. He believes in the First Order is wrong and I'm going to walk away. He believes in Rey. He comes to believe in Rose. And then he really comes to believe in the mission. I think he really comes to believe in the idea of we, not me. And that's a lot of his my favorite moments of him in the Rise of Skywalker are that we, not me kind of message. So I just wanted to highlight in my run-ups that this great combination of Finn as, you know, it's kind of comedy, it's action, it's heart, and kind of his character is that guy that you were talking about, you know, where he's like, I can do that. And Han's like, I like that guy. He's got a real, you know, he wrestles with it, he falls down, but he's got a lot of like enthusiasm and a lot of like, we can do it, let's go. And I wanted to highlight some of those moments. I love the line, yeah, alone with friends, when Rey's going to leave. It's both funny and it's like such a great little just theme statement for some of the ideas of Rise of Skywalker, right?
Yeah, big one.
And then a couple other through lines of him being the sort of the empathic character. I think his force powers lend towards empathy. He is sensing how people are feeling, where people are, what needs to be done. I love that moment where he has everybody join hands when they're going to go to Kijimi when Poe is kind of feeling low and Poe says hands and Finn says hands, like it's something that he does fairly often. He's like, guys, we're all in this together to the end. So let's join hands. Like he's being a paladin. He's being a booster. Same thing, just emotionally. I love that he is kind of the center of the hug at the end of Rise of Skywalker between the big three, has that moment for me. When he destroys the tread speeder, that's just a cool action moment where he's got the cool idea. He throws the hook and has, you know, it's from the trailer, the big fist up. Woo! Again, that's that kind of like, let's go for it. Let's do it. We're all on the same team. Let's keep moving forward. But it's also just a cool Star Wars action moment. From the book Resistance Reborn, which is, you know, happening soon after Last Jedi. I love that scene where he and Poe are going to be undercover. And they're putting on nice suits and he insists on wearing a Rebel starboard pin, even though they're going undercover because he's that into the Resistance right now that he is all in on that. There's a million comedy moments that I could highlight. We talk a lot about BB-8's great lighter thumbs up, but that's set up by the great thumbs up that Finn gives him. A million moments with Han. But one of the great comedy delivery moments that is from Last Jedi, and again, I do have some criticisms about some of the comedy moments, but I love his delivery when he's having that awkward conversation with Rose, when he's trying to get in the escape pod, and he's not sure how to end the conversation and trying to just go along with, sure, I'm a hero. And he says, may the force be with you. Because he doesn't know how else to end the conversation, and the little look on his face like, that's what important people in the Resistance say to one another to end conversations, right? Yeah. I said it. Why aren't you leaving?
I always love it because she's, you know, the Finn, right? It's like a celebrity within the Star Wars story. And I like that he's just like, may the force be with you. That'd be 10 Republic credits for a picture. it's like he's on a convention tour in Star Wars. That's a great read. It's a great read. Great comic moment.
Yeah, great read. Great. I think a good comedy beat and extremely well delivered by John Boyega. So that's it for me. A collection in my runner-ups of great comedy moments and great moments of heart and enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Especially when he just shows up on the scene of Force Awakens, he is really funny. Got some great time, great reactions. One of the ones for me, I'll go to the Force Awakens. when he, first of all, I love the drinking, the sharing the water with the Happabore. The Happabore is one of my favorite creatures in Star Wars. And watching and studying that again, of just, he plays it so well, Boyega does, of just like, oh, that's disgusting. All right, we're going to go for it again. That leads to his introduction to Rey, right? And we could talk a lot about that. And there's a lot of power in that moment for Rey. It's a street fight. Two thugs are on her, and she can handle her own business. But again, Finn, he's the only one willing to help. From his perspective, he sees a woman being attacked by two guys on the street. I'm going to go help, right? I give him some credit for that. But he play it well. Great reaction to that, the stopping of it when he kind of sees it. Oh, he just kind of does that. Oh, whoa. Okay. Huh. All right. I think it's so great. I just really think it's really funny.
Yeah. She doesn't need help.
But he kind of looks around like, am I okay? Oh, maybe that's why no one else is. All right. Cool. I think it just plays. I really love that sequence. The traitor fight, on Takadana, right? I just see it as, you know, and Chewie helps him there. You gotta get all that. I just see that in that moment, it is Finn standing up to his past a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I've seen it discussed before. Yeah, he's clearly got friends in the First Order. That's the whole blood on the helmet thing. It's someone he probably knew, and it jars him and everything. And and I know he's escaping. He's maybe shooting some stormtroopers, and people have for years now wrestled with that. I totally get that. But I think there's just some. This stormtrooper, I always forget his name, but I'd lose that trivia round. He yells traitor, and it's like in that moment, like Finn realizes, like, well, he ain't my friend, and that represents a part of my past that I don't want any part of anymore. And I'm on a journey, but I'm definitely not there. And I just like that he stands up to his past in that moment to me.
Yeah, and kicks the butt of FN-2199 up to a point.
Up to a point. There he is. I'm in charge now, Phasma, the whole sequence.
Oh, yeah.
I like the energy to it. I do love that Han's kind of like, calm it down. I've been around the galaxy too, and I've been in your shoes. Just calm it down. It's a great exchange. He and Harrison Ford have some great moments. But I think it is a simpler surface level kind of reaction to some of the deeper things we've been talking about. His past and the trauma and everything, but I just kind of like that. Yeah, it's like, no, he's just like, no, I'm in charge now. Like, I'm in charge. And I think we can all relate to that. I like when he stands up to DJ. It's the big conversation, but I like when he does go into the other room and it's like, give back her medal.
Yes.
Give it back. And yeah, DJ is being a little, sneaky on what he's going to use it for. And it's it's designed to make us think he has a little bit of a heart of gold in there. But, I give Finn that kind of credit. He's not going to stand for that. And I like that. It leads to other conversations and other big things that we get. But I just like that little moment. And a couple of them here. This is a house favorite. Grace and I here love animals, as a lot of people do, of course. We love when he says, where do those crystal critters go? And yes, we get the official name. There are Vulptex and Vulptices and all the... But I just love it. Where the crystal critters go. And we love crystal critters in this house. Every moment of mine. Final moment for me, Joseph, going to The Rise of Skywalker. I liked it the first moment I saw it, and I loved it even more today, bringing it up and studying it. When he is working the Falcon guns, the belly guns, like a pro,
mm-hmm.
escape sequence with the Bolio win the war sequence. Go back to obviously the first time we see him in the Falcon, the first time he goes down there and Rey's flying and trying to fly and he's down there and it's comedy, just and he's talking. Then he reaches back for the radio, the headset. And he's kind of like, oh God. And he kind of puts it on, go to that moment and then go to this moment.
Right.
Super acknowledged. He's just in there and there's a great shot and the camera kind of boom, whip pans over and he's grabbing the headset. Because he knows he needs it and he's done this and he's got this and he is not who he was when we first met him. He has grown and he has got skills that are just been honed and he's in there and he's wiping out. And he has a big in Force Awakens. Yeah, he does kind of get the big kill with the gun, but here he's just boom, 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 boom. And he's on it. And to me, that's just this little snapshot of Finn then to now. And I love it.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you included that shot. There's so much where Finn to me in Rise of Skywalker feels like he still has some more experiences he's going to have in Rise of Skywalker, but he feels so much like I'm at home and I know who I am and I know what I'm doing. And that quick shot, that's just like a damn cool, like James Bond, like been there, done that, put the, you know, headset on, blow them away. Got it. Like the mood of it is so cool.
It's a great little frameable frame of film. So that's those are my runner ups there. So we are going to go to our number one favorite and best Finn moments in Star Wars. We'll go with my number one so Joseph can close the show. My number one, we are going to The Rise of Skywalker. Finn and Janna. I don't want to exclude her from this moment. This is definitely about Finn, though, and I want to get to that. But she is right there with him and key to this moment. It is Finn and Janna leading the charge on the Star Destroyer, on the troop carrier, drops them off, and then, jam their speeder sensors. They don't have speeders. No, they're on Orbachs. And they're charging at him. BB-8's there as well, too. It's the trailer shot. And here's what I love about it. To me, when you really look at this moment, it is a lot about Finn's experiences, including his time in the First Order and what he knows about what they do. It is his feelings, Finn's feelings and what his perceptions and what he is clued into, very key. And it's his conviction. Because by the way, this is not the original plan. They were going to go farther down, but no, he realizes and he has a conviction. He has the feeling. And so this leads to him and Janna doing something that is just galactically important. It is a galactically important hero moment. And to me, it's a lasting image. It is a giant action. It swells, it swoons in all the ways I want Star Wars to do. It inspires, it exhilarates. And to me, it comes from Finn's heart, soul, and journey that we've spent all this time with him, 7, 8, 9, going to 7, where he's fearful, he's run away, he can't work that Falcon thing. Even Poe asked, can you shoot blasters? It's kind of the same thing. Like all that to this, he is a general, he is a leader, he is a hero. Jan is right there with him. She's the one who taught him to ride. BB-8 storming him. I loved it in the trailer, and I remember thinking, did I ever want to see space horses on a Star Destroyer? I don't think so, but I think I do now. Even to seeing it in the Skywalker Saga Lego game trailer where you just kind of see Finn hopping along on a Lego horse. I think this is just one of the best little hero shots, and stuff still happens. The fight still goes on. The thing goes on. The thing goes off, and they have to adjust the plan, and he and Janna have some great stuff together. In this moment, the music swelled, the setup for it, and the First Order guys, they don't got speeders, you know. Boom, it's a big win for me, and it just it does everything I need in a Star Wars moment.
Yeah, no, that's great. The Orbachs on the Steadfast, and you know, Finn's great creative idea and rushing forward, and you know, yeah, with his buddy BB-8 and with this newfound friend that he has his deep bond with Janna, and there's so much great stuff going on there, and it leads to that ultimate moment of no, we can't leave this ship, and talk about having such a complete journey from that moment in the village where just like, I realize that the First Order wants me to kill innocent people for, you know, reasons that they kind of manipulated me and about and indoctrinated me and lied to me about. So I want to walk away from the First Order, and that's it, to this moment of, I will not walk away from the Final Order because they must be stopped. And I'm all in. From wanting to run away to being unwilling to turn away is Finn's journey.
That is the journey. Right there. Get on an Orbach and charge into history. That is my number one, my favorite, and what I consider my personal best Finn moment. But what, sir, is your number one best Finn moment in Star Wars?
My number one is a combination of two moments because I just love them both so much. And I think they speak to each other. They speak to Finn's arc, and they speak to some stuff that I really love about Finn's character. But my number one is basically just the Force. I'm going to that moment in The Force Awakens because it's an incredibly funny moment. What Finn says is funny. It sets up Han's response, which is super funny. And when Han realizes that Finn has, he's just in sanitation. He's just led them there to rescue Rey, and Han is upset. And Finn has this great, what turns out to be very Force-like attitude of, we'll find a way somehow, but says, with no knowledge to support it, we'll use the Force, setting up Han's, you know, hilarious line of, that's not how the Force works. Great, hilarious bit of comedy from The Force Awakens, one of my favorite comedy moments in Star Wars. But it ends up having this great meaning where Finn has conviction of like, okay, we're here. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we'll figure out how to do it. Maybe the Force will help us. I don't know what that is. And, you know, and Han's great grumpy reaction. So that moment is great and to be celebrated by itself. But then you connect that all the way to the Rise of Skywalker, where Finn now does have a better understanding of what the Force is and what it means to him. And he has such a conviction in it. But it's a conviction that kind of supports what he was saying back in The Force Awakens of like, yeah, no, trust the Force and, you know, it will help you find a way. But the particular moment in The Rise of Skywalker that I wanted to highlight is the moment where he realizes which ship needs to be taken out right before the great Orbach ride that you're pointing out. And you know, he looks up, says, wait, the nav signal is coming from that command ship. That's our drop zone. Jen asks, how do you know? And just incredibly well acted, I think incredibly well shot, a feeling. Mm. And that's such a triumph for the idea of the Force being an intuitive power. It is a triumph of, hey, you know, what does it mean to be a Jedi? What does it mean to be connected to the Force? Is Finn a Jedi or not? Well, some of that for me just all falls away. And it goes back to Yoda saying, you know, the light side uses the Force for a knowledge and defense. And this is a moment where Finn helps absolutely save the galaxy because he uses the Force for knowledge. And yeah, it's not as flashy of a moment as, you know, destroying Emperor Palpatine or saving Darth Vader or whatever other moment you want to point to. It's absolutely critical. And it is using the Force from a place of intuitive emotion. It's using the Force for knowledge. And it's an incredibly powerful moment. If Finn didn't have that connection, didn't have that feeling, didn't trust himself, then the galaxy would not have been saved. All those ships would have been able to make it out of Exegol, and the galaxy would have been in just utter horror. Mm. So my number one Finn moment is going from him saying with youthful, naive enthusiasm, I don't know what it is, but we'll use the Force, to him using with maturity, with emotional intelligence, with knowledge of himself, damn right, I'm going to use the Force and I'm going to use it to save the galaxy in this moment through the power of knowledge.
I feel as though you and I keep talking about, we come recently in Force Center, there's been a lot of talk about the do or do not and the Force and the light side and the dark and the true meaning. And I think more than ever, I'm really connecting with the idea of Finn representing in this moment in these movies. And look, I'd love an episode 10, 11, and 12 where he has a cool cape and a lightsaber and all those. I'd love it. But for what he is in these movies, he represents something so powerful to me. This idea first presented in 1977 and talked about more in 1980 with Yoda, the Force, it's all around all of us. And you don't have to have that cape or Obi-Wan beard or mullet or all the training. It's there for you if you can connect with it and feel it. And it grows in him and he learns. And you're right. It is a pure form of the Force. It's a pure form outside of any rank or any structure. And it is so much about his character. There is a lot about Finn that is about others, a selfless, a drive to just to be selfless and help others, save others, support others. And he discovers it. And I love it. And I celebrate it often in him, down to the little moments we've talked about here, the Happabor sequence and everything. And then this one here, which is him having a feeling, quite frankly, about the whole galaxy. It's great stuff, and I love it.
Yeah, just an absolute great hero moment. So well delivered, to just look up and say a feeling, and having that be a hero moment. That's one of the things that makes Star Wars different. And that's a great thing for me to think about when there's a lot of discussion, good discussion back and forth about, you know, Finn's role in the sequel trilogy. But for me, for analyzing what is there, good, bad, or otherwise, I just love his character. And I love how he comes so full circle and so into his own and trusts himself so much and gets to be such a great and cool hero.
Yeah. As always well said, I just am forever thankful that the character of Finn is there and present and has these moments. I am also forever thankful that John Boyega got this role. took it on, took the burden, is there to help us celebrate Star Wars, as he has been. He's been part of that many times, whether reaction videos, great interviews, convention appearances. His joy, even if he was, quite frankly, even if he felt he had to turn it on and fake it in that moment, he was there. It was present. And I'm forever thankful for that. And I'm forever thankful that he has grown up to be this wonderful community and social leader who is going to always make you think a little bit more about what you are watching and what you're connecting with and what you feel or what you could connect with or what you could feel with some of these characters if there was other things there and other choices made. So forever thankful for all of that.
Well said.
Well said indeed. That's the name of the show now, right? Now we're joking with ourselves here. We want to thank all of you out there in Force Centerland for allowing us to not just celebrate Star Wars. Again, we always say that. We always say, hey, we're here for a good positive discussion. We really love going to the micro level and dealing with what's there while also wondering what could have been there. And that's made possible because all of you, if you want to join the conversation, you can do so on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use the hashtag Star Wars Ranked or the hashtag Force Center so we can find it. You can like our Facebook page. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. Stand by for, especially if you're on Patreon, for a YouTube-related announcement soon. We'll get to that. Don't forget Patreon, patreon.com/ForceCenter. If you want to support us, merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. As always, you can support the show and get yourself a free audiobook by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Pick up Resistance Reborn and relive that cool Finn moment that Joseph talked about. You can follow me at Ken Knapsack or KenKnapsack.com. And Joseph, then go to josephscrimshaw.com to get even more thoughts on Finn. Could you just post any blog yet? No. Okay, no.
Not yet, but maybe one of these days. Yeah, you can go to josephscrimshaw.com for all my comedy adventures. And you can find me Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw.
And, you know, for what it's worth, yeah, go find it out. You listen to Joseph's Obsessed podcast, too. I know you got some new stuff going on your Patreon page. Check that out as well. Great stuff there. So I was just talking about your Dave Foley episode again the other day. One of my favorites.
I learned so much about actual UFOs from Dave Foley. What a weird world we live in, and it's great.
Weird world, but not a weird world is this Star Wars world. It's a wonderful world, a challenging world at times, but as always, we love Star Wars and think it is still, and always will be, a great time to be a Star Wars fan. That is it for this week. Star Wars has been ranked.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.